Broadcasting Network.
It's terrible to see families ripped apart, and I don't support that one bit. And I blame the politicians for the last 20, 30 years.
Officials from Catholic, Presbyterian, and Episcopal religious organizations also criticizing the policy. The U.S. pulls out of the U.N. Human Rights Council, U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley saying the group of nations doesn't live up to its name, as it doesn't address serious human rights abuses. She also accuses the council of being hostile to Israel. This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Just getting word that the Woodrow Wilson Bridge in the Washington, D.C. area has been closed in both directions because of an accident involving a construction crane. Reports are a vehicle may have crashed into the crane, causing it to explode and catch fire. The bridge connects Alexandria, Virginia, with Prince George's County, Maryland. Federal immigration officials arrest more than 100 workers suspected of using false or stolen identification at an Ohio meat supplier. The latest on that case from USA Radio's Wendy King.
U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Homeland Security agents executed a search warrant for the Freshmark meat processing plant in Salem to arrest employees for immigration violations. According to Homeland Security Special Agent Steve Francis, unlawful employment is one of the key magnets drawing illegal aliens across our borders. Francis said most of the employees arrested at the location were from Guatemala and will be held in facilities in Michigan and Ohio as they await proceedings. Some employees may be released on humanitarian grounds, including health concerns or the well-being of their family members.
And Canada's moving to legalize pot, the country's Senate giving final passage to a bill to do that. Sales could begin in about 8 to 12 weeks after the federal government gives final approval. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The weather for Hunterdon County, it is currently 78 degrees. We are expecting this afternoon to be mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Tonight, showers are likely and possible thunderstorms after 2 a.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, and the temperature would be around 62. Tomorrow, Thursday, showers likely, mainly before 7 a.m., and then cloudy through the morning, gradually clearing with a high near 83. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 62. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. And a chance of rain showers after 9 p.m. on Friday. Saturday, a chance of showers, and then thunderstorms likely after 9 a.m. It will be cloudy on Saturday with a high near 81. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, and Sunday, a chance of showers in the morning ending after 3 p.m., and then mostly sunny with a high near 84. It is currently 12:05. Thank you. Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's program. I am not sure if you're hearing me. Anyway, I generally get to hear the commercials when I play them, but for some reason today I'm not hearing the commercials. It's an ongoing process of technology. Anyway, my topic for today is recovering from mental health issues. And it happens to be National Recovering from a Breakdown Month. So I thought that I would talk about that. However, before I start talking about that, I really want to address some of the things that are going on in the news, especially around what's going on the border with children being separated from their parents. I will say that this is a very sad situation. However, and an unfortunate situation. Unfortunate is a light word to use, actually. Can even be horrific and traumatizing for these kids. However, it is not only these children that suffer from situations like this. Whenever a child is separated from a parent through death, divorce, separation, jail, military deployment, health issues, parent, and is hospitalized for a long period of time. Jobs. Sometimes parents need to go on long business trips. When a child has to deal with a parent who is an alcoholic, addicted to drugs, or some other addiction, could be workaholism, gambling, anything like that. When a child has to grow up in a household where there is abuse, where there is physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, intellectual abuse, and spiritual abuse. When a child has to grow up in situations where a parent has mental illness. When a child grows up in a situation where a parent is struggling with a personality disorder. If there is abuse amongst the parents. If there is, I already said physical illness. So the bottom line is children in this country, adoption, foster care, anything that alters what would be a healthy, normal balance in a family where you have two parents and siblings and support with healthy parents emotionally, physically, their relationship is healthy. What happens is these children end up with things such as abandonment issues, depression, anxiety, even post-traumatic stress disorder issues. They may develop personality disorders themselves. They may be bipolar, may have a parent that's bipolar. All of these things contribute to the emotional well-being of children. So it is not just what is going on the border. This is across the country. Any child that grows up with any of the things that I've mentioned will at some point show signs of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, a possible personality disorder, get involved in addictions, criminal activity. Their own relationships will be broken, most likely. So even though this is in the news and it's a huge attention getter, we are not looking at the issues of our whole country where all of our children are suffering at some point. If you figure 45 to 50% of marriages end in divorce, 65% of second marriages end in divorce, all of those children deal with separation and separation anxiety. So I think we need to put this into perspective. Is this a horrible thing? It is a horrible thing. But it's horrible for any child to have to go through time in their life where one of their parents is separated from them for whatever reason. And I listed a great number of reasons. And so we, as adults, really have a responsibility to be in healthy relationships and to be healthy individuals in those healthy relationships to be able to be good parents to our children. They are our responsibility. They are our future. And we need to take care of that. With that being said, as I had said before, I am a licensed professional counselor. I've got my master's in counseling. I'm nationally certified as a counselor. I have a small practice in Flemington. I've been a counselor for 33 years. And, you know, nervous breakdown. What does that mean? What does that mean? It can mean that we're overwhelmed. It can mean that we are depressed, that we are anxious, that we have post-traumatic stress, and we don't know what to do with all of those issues. It may come from issues where we have addiction, where we grew up as adults. Now, we grew up in situations where there was abuse, where there was incest, where there was so many things, and it gets piled on and piled on and piled on. And so at some point, we may have a breakdown of some sort. Now, it generally means I've reached a point where I just can't do it anymore. I can't manage my life. I'm crying all the time. I can't take action in anything. I'm isolating. I'm overwhelmed. I may be hysterical. I may feel suicidal. I didn't mention that as one of the causes of parental separation. They can be extremely traumatic for our children. Just to mention that the 10th highest cause for death in our society is suicide. So if you're a child and one of your parents commits suicide, talk about being ripped away from your parents. It's awful. And the thing is that as an adult, we may end up with situations where we are so overwhelmed with unresolved issues because of these things that happened to us in childhood. We also may have a temperament where we're highly emotional people. Some people, their emotions are not as strong as others. Others, very empathetic, very much in tune with their feelings and the feelings of others. This is part of temperament. So these people are more feeling people than thinking people. So this would be if you think about temperament. Someone who maybe be a very feeling person, who's also an introvert, who's put in a situation where they have to do a lot of thinking, where they have to be with extroverts all the time, this could be really overwhelming. And so it can lead to something where we call it a breakdown. It's not an actual clinical term, breakdown, but it is something that we can suffer from. Sometimes it can even put us into a hospital. We can be so overwhelmed with what's going on in our daily lives that we're unable to function. We're unable to turn the white noise off in our head. We can't cope with the demands of daily life, and we break down. Think of a paper clip. Here's a paper clip right here, okay? So the stressors of just doing this, eventually I do this, and it's going to break down the paper clip, and eventually, after a while, it's going to, as you know, we all do this sometimes with paper clips, it's just going to break in half. It's a breakdown. It's a breakdown of the paper clip because of the stressors, emotional stressors, physical stressors, financial stressors, life's challenges, poor coping skills, addictions, okay, all of those things. But can we come back from situations like that? We can. So I'm going to actually take a little bit of a commercial break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about how we can regroup and come back from traumatic situations, both things that have happened to us and that where we ourselves end up with a breakdown. It could be, again, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, many things that can be signals to a breakdown. So I'm Ruth Altamira Roll. I am your host for Counselors Chat, and I will be back in just a few moments.
Filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against Milwaukee and its police department over an incident when he ended up getting tased earlier this year. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
The Milwaukee Bucks guard says in the suit police violated his 4th and 14th Amendment rights during an arrest in
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm hoping that you're hearing the commercial breaks and not just watching me sit here in silence. I'm not hearing them on my headgear, whatever this thing is. I'm talking today about recovering from emotional breakdowns, and that emotional breakdowns can be related to many different things, being overwhelmed with depression, anxiety, trauma, childhood issues that have occurred where they're going undealt with. There's not really a single identifying cause why somebody would have a breakdown. But generally speaking, it's something that happens where we don't function. And we oftentimes need help. It's time when we say, go get some counseling. Some people who have an emotional breakdown may actually need to be hospitalized, get on medication, have some very strong counseling, group counseling, those kinds of things, maybe attend intensive outpatient programs. But the good news is you can get your life back. It may affect your self-esteem a great deal because you're feeling like you can't cope. And you can wonder about yourself. How did I let this happen? What's wrong with me? I feel guilty. I couldn't manage my day-to-day life. I feel shame. You know, why did this happen? Something's wrong with me. It's a heavy burden. And then there's the grieving process of time lost, ability lost, jobs lost. Not feeling whole, feeling empty, feeling broken. So where do we start? Well, definitely continue with counseling. That is an extremely important aspect. And start working on self-forgiveness. That's definitely hard to do. Know your limits. Know your boundaries. Notice your self-talk. Is it negative? Start changing your negative self-talk to positive self-talk. Well, how do I do that? I'm feeling completely worthless. I was unable to cope. I'm broken. How can I do that? So I can start with giving myself small phrases of praise. Well, you know, at least I got out of bed today. At least today, you know what I did today? I brushed my teeth today. I got dressed today. They may not be huge successes, but coming out of an emotional breakdown, that is a huge success. I'm going to start making a list of positive things. So journaling is a huge, huge benefit to recover from a breakdown. Not only journaling the reasons why I had the breakdown, all of those things that my therapist might want me to journal about and process, but also journaling about the positive things. What do I notice about myself that I like? I may say there isn't anything. And I say to people that's actually hogwash. You may like your hair. You may like your eyebrows. You may like your elbow. You may like your handwriting. You may like the way you make an omelet. Can be many different things. Make a list of things that you're grateful for. Again, I'm not grateful for anything. I'm a failure. Well, are you grateful that you had a counselor, that you had a place to go, that you have medication? I say things like, are you grateful you have running water? That's such a silly thing. Well, you know what? It's a start. It's a place to start. Are you grateful you have clothes on your back? Are you grateful you have eyelashes? Glasses if you need them. Are you grateful for electricity? Let's start making a list. Are you grateful that the sun is out today? So these may be small things, and a lot of times I have clients that say, oh, that's so stupid. It's not. It's the beginning. It's the start of something. It's the start of changing the way we think about things. So positive aspects and qualities. Might not be that many, but it's a start. Things that I'm grateful for. May not be many, but it's a start. People that you appreciate in your life. There may not be many. Might be the doctor, the counselor, my kids, my pet. Give yourself praise for things that you do when you do a good job. You know, it was a pretty good omelet. It's just a lot of work to even get up in the morning and comb my hair and brush my teeth, but you know, I did it And I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for at least doing that. I'm going to stop telling myself that I'm worthless. I'm going to start giving myself some positive statements, and I'm going to work at being kind to myself. Well, what does that mean? It means being gentle with how I talk to myself. But it also means, you know what, I'm not going to push myself too hard. I'm going to push a little bit because I need to stretch. But there's a huge difference between, I don't know, I haven't done sit-ups for years. I think I'm going to do 5 sit-ups, and that's, I'm stretching. Versus, I haven't done sit-ups for years. I'm going to do 150, and tomorrow I'm going to be in such pain that I can't even get up. Okay, so it's a slow process. And I think keeping that in mind is really important. It's a slow process. There's so many things in our lives that fall by the wayside when we do have a breakdown. And a lot of times it may be because we can't cope with anything. Maybe we've gone into a hospital. Maybe we are in an outpatient program. Our work is compromised. Our families are compromised. Our friendship, even sometimes our physical health, because we lack motivation. We're not exercising. We're not eating well, or even eating at all. And so it's starting to change some of those things. I may go for a short walk. I may not even be able to go outside very much, just because even that feels like a lot, but I could stand by a window. Maybe I can walk outside and just stand on my balcony if I have an apartment, or, you know, just on my front porch, or walk to the end of the driveway, or wherever I'm living, walk around the parking lot, walk around the block. I'm going to work at rebuilding relationships and mending relationships. These can be friends and family members, and of course, relationship with self. So often when we have a breakdown, we isolate and we push people away. So it's often difficult to reestablish communication, but I find that people are very forgiving. And, you know, if I've had an emotional breakdown and I have friends or family that are not forgiving, I don't know, really know if I want them in my life. I want people in my life that can be understanding and gentle. Now, I don't want somebody who's going to be rescuing and enabling. I want somebody that's going to be understanding and gentle. That's a very different scenario. So I may need to make a few phone calls. I might need to send out some postcards. I may need to say some things on Facebook or whatever social media that I may have. People may be confused as to what happened to you. What happened? Well, you know, I had an emotional breakdown. I was overwhelmed. I couldn't cope with life, and I needed help. And what I need right now is your support and understanding. You know, your friendship is important to me. My relationship with you is important to me. We need to do a little rebuilding. I'm working at no longer isolating myself, because that's not helpful. And so often we do find people that have been in our lives to be supportive. We may even find that people say, you know what, why don't we go out to dinner, or I'll bring dinner. How about if I come over for a cup of tea? Let me just sort of be with you and listen to you and hear what's going on in your life. It is a time where we can distinguish between those people in our lives that are supportive and those are just not. Generally, the just get over it usually is not a good suggestion. Oftentimes, that's what people who don't know what else to say will say, just get over it. You're getting through it. And what you need is you need people who are going to be gentle with you. It's important to communicate that you care for that person and that they're valued. You've been really supportive through this. I really appreciate it. I want to share with you what happened to me. So talk to them about your experience, how it affected you. Ask them how it affected them. Share your fears about rebuilding the relationship. I was really afraid to share this with you because I was not sure how you were going to respond. And I would understand if you just decide you don't want to be my friend anymore because it's too much for you to handle. You can do that. It takes courage, but you can do that. And you can renew your commitment to nurturing the relationship. You know, I've been through a rough time. I know you haven't heard from me for 3 or 4 months. I apologize for that. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. I want to rebuild our relationship. My intention never was to hurt you or damage our relationship. It's just I had a breakdown. And I want you in my life. You've been supportive. And I've been supportive of you, and I want us to rebuild that, rekindle that friendship. Those things are really important to do. In terms of recovering from a breakdown, absolutely, I'm going to underscore counseling, counseling, counseling. It's so important to be able to talk to someone about what happened and why it happened. Generally speaking, a breakdown, again, like I did with the paperclip, there's been too much stress. If I have had issues from my childhood that I've carried into my adult life, and I have a stressful adult life, and I have a stressful relationship, and I'm dealing with my own addictions or mental health issues, it piles on and piles on. It doesn't dissipate. It's like I'm trying to build a pathway in my yard from my back door to my shed. And I come across this huge boulder in the ground. I didn't realize it was there. It was just under the surface of the lawn. I need to get it out. Now, I can go around it. I can do that. Boulder stays there. It will be costly. I got to buy more materials. Makes the path longer. Really just wanted a straight path. I could do the work. I could dig it out. Get rid of the boulder. Move forward. That's part of how it works. Can do that in counseling. I've got childhood issues. That boulder is there, relationship issues, that boulder is there. I need to figure out what's going on. If I have mental health issues, if I need medication, I get the medication that I need, and I take that medication as required, as prescribed. I add exercise into my life. So I go for walks. They don't have to be long walks. Like I said, they could be short walks around the block. Maybe I do want to go to a park and walk through nature. Nature can be very healing. I'm going to think about what I'm eating. Am I having breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, healthy snacks? Am I going online and Googling nutrition? I always encourage my clients to do their own work and look into vitamins and minerals. It's really important to see if there are vitamins and or minerals that might actually help you to rebuild your life. So nutrition is extremely important. Sleep. So I've had a breakdown. I'm not sleeping well. My mind keeps racing. I may need medication. I may need to think about how I'm getting ready for bed. If I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, my mind is racing, journal. Get your journal out and write until you're done writing. Have a cup of sleepy time tea. Go back to bed. Part of the process is getting the boulder out. Part of the process is making that gratitude list, things that I like about myself. Let me see, you know, I'm no longer in the hospital. I'm moving forward. My life is getting better. It may not be exactly where I would like it to be, but it is getting better. So I got to take care of my emotional life. I got to take care of my relational life. Got to take care of my physical life. I have to take care of my emotions. Other things may happen. Okay. There may be financial worries that have occurred because of a breakdown. I was not able to get to work. It might be that I have been able to get some time off from work, go on disability, those kinds of things. It may be that I've actually even lost my job as a consequence. I may need to sit down with a financial advisor and talk about my financial situation and how to recuperate. I may have to job hunt, which can be very difficult when I'm feeling fragile. And I think fragile is a good word to use. So maybe I was an accountant for a large accounting firm. And the thoughts of going back feel, again, overwhelming. Okay, it's got to know my limits. So, you know, I think I do want to get back to work. I need to start making some money, but I don't think it's going to be in that high-paced accounting job or that legal job or that sales, you know, top salesperson in my company. It's too much. So I may need to look for a job that's less stressful, at least to start off with. Get my feet wet, as it were. And so I may need to do that. I may need to look into some government assistance, especially if you're not feeling well enough to return to work full time. You might want to see if you can get some financial assistance from friends or family members. And you may need to really think about how you are handling your money. Unfortunately, you may need to do things like stop cable or not shop as much as you used to. And being honest and open with your bosses, if you're still employed, you'd be surprised how many times people are really willing to work with you. Talk to your colleagues about it. People actually, when we give them the chance, are much more empathetic to your problems, to your issues. It can be difficult to share that with people. I have something to tell you. I've been going through a really rough time. It's been affecting my work. I'm on medication. I actually, you know, those 3 weeks that I took off was not a vacation to Europe. It was, you know, I had to go to a hospital. I needed help. We all need help sometimes. As you all know, one of my goals here at Counselors Chat is to remove the stigma that we have around mental health issues. And help others through that process. You know, most people really do appreciate the willingness to go talk about it, your colleagues, your boss, family members. And you might say, you know, I'm back here, but I'm not 100% yet. So I know you would give me 3 or 4 projects every week. I probably can do two right now. My goal is to work myself back up to where I was. And I used to work 75 hours a week. I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I'm going to do my best to be as productive, but I need some downtime. See, I need my limits. I need to know that I have limits and what my limits are. And so often we just push and push and push. So if I've got addiction issues, if I've got mental health issues like depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress, if I've got family issues, all of those things, and I'm pushing and pushing and pushing, at some point I'm going to break. Our mental capacity, emotional capacity is not infinite. It's finite. And it's important to know that we have to say no sometimes. So part of overcoming a breakdown is being able to say, you know what, I'm going to say no to that. I've decided that, you know what, the job that I had, I don't think I'm going to go back to. It's too stressful for me. It's brought me to this place. I think that that's really an important thing. You know, being open and honest with people. And like I said, if someone can't manage it, someone else can't deal with it, then you know what? I'm going to let you just mosey on your own way. I'm not going to have animosity about it. You know, let's say I have a breakdown. My husband can't handle it. He says, I'm out of here. I don't want to be married to you anymore. Okay. You know what? Go. Because I don't need the stress of that. And I'm not going to blame myself that the relationship ended. I'm going to say, you know what, you're not able to handle it. You need to go then. And that's fine. So I actually need to take another little commercial break, and I will be back in a few moments with Counselor's Chat. I'm Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program.
Filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against Milwaukee and its police department over an incident when he ended up getting tased earlier this year.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I'm not sure why the news would break into the commercial. I'm not sure if you even hear the commercial. I feel like every week I'm, sitting here saying, I'm struggling with this technical stuff. And every once in a while I get it, and every once in a while I think I've got it. But it's got a life of its own, and as far as I can tell, does it make sense? I know. So I'm talking today about recovering from a breakdown of some sort, and recovery in general from anything is generally, it's a slow process. If I expect myself to snap out of it, chances are that's not going to happen. And when we suffer from a breakdown, it doesn't mean that we're going to have another one. However, it may also mean that we have been compromised in some way. And so we need to practice a lifelong regimen of self-care. It's going to take time to get back into the swing of things. It's going to take time to recuperate, if ever, our financial lives. It's going to take time to rebuild relationships. It's going to take time to get back into a career. And you may find that life looks much different after a breakdown. What does that mean? Well, I may decide I'm not going back to that job. I might decide that this relationship has to end and it's time to maybe get a divorce or go our separate ways. Oops. It might be that I realize that 5 kids, 3 dogs, 2 cats, 7 fish, full-time job, big house, something's got to give. And say, you know what, it's really great that we have all of this, but it's time to downsize. I need to quit my job, take care of myself. We so overload ourselves in so many ways that it's unhealthy. And I know I get overwhelmed dealing with a lot of different things. And sometimes it's just a walk in the garden, walk around the block, put some music on, do some breathing. Practice mindfulness. I know I talk about mindfulness a lot also. But mindfulness is really important when my brain is racing and racing and racing and I can't seem to quiet it down. I need to just focus on something. Just focus on what I'm looking at. There are numbers or letters. What's the color? What's the shape? Do I smell anything, taste anything, hear anything? In the now, what's going on right now? I'm going to notice, what if this, what if that, what if this? I'm going to notice the resentments. I can't believe this person did that to me. I can't believe the other person did the other thing to me. I can't get over what happened to me. Stop. Focus. Present moment. Do some breathing. Learn how to do breathing from your diaphragm. Deep breathing. Not just shallow breathing up here, but deep breathing. Practice meditation. Grow your spiritual life. So for some people, many people, that means prayer. Now, prayer and meditation, for me, the way I'm going to describe it, it's a conversation. It's a conversation with my higher power, which could be God, could be universe, could be trees. that conversation is I say something. I tell you how I'm feeling. I tell you about my frustrations. I tell you about my hopes and dreams. And then I get quiet. And I listen for a response. Now, a response might come as a small voice. A response might come as an opportunity. But that's probably the best explanation I have with prayer and meditation. Prayer is my saying, and then meditation is I get quiet and I listen, which is any form of communication. And I think those things are really important when we're working at recovering from a breakdown. Learn how to say no. You know what? No. I'm not going to do that anymore. I can't add one more thing to my plate. I'm going to take things off my plate. I have reached my limit. I've gone over my limit. I'm carrying too many things, and I broke. And I need to put things down, get things out, move on, and recognize this is a process. My gosh, I had this breakdown 6 months ago. I should be over it by now. I should have my life back to where it was. Well, if what I was doing 6 months ago led to the breakdown, I don't want to go back to where I was. I want to go to something new, something different, something healthier, something less stressful. I'm going to take a yoga class, a mindfulness class, a meditation class. I'm going to do things like learn how to play a musical instrument. I'm going to take a painting or drawing. I'm going to plant a small garden. I'm going to walk barefoot in the grass. I'm going to go volunteer somewhere, pet shelter. I'm going to work with children. I may make a complete career change. I know I had that six-figure job, but I can't do that anymore. I may just say, you know what, getting a job at Wawa is going to work for me. And I'm going to have to change some of my living expectations. You know, it's really okay to say, you know what, it's too much. It's time to downsize. It's too much. I have too many balls in the air, juggling too much stuff. And eventually, it is going to fall down. It is going to collapse. A lot of people don't remember Ed Sullivan. Oh, gosh, who was even Ed Sullivan? It was a show on every Sunday night when I was a kid. They would have different talent acts from comedians to musicians to jugglers to... And there was this guy that would come on periodically, and he'd have sticks and plates, and he'd spin the plates, and the music would go. You know, like, oh, it's been, you know, 4 months since he was here. Last time he did 10 plates. This time he's going to do 13 plates. And he'd spin the plates and he'd be running back and forth. And he's up to 27 plates. And, oh, we'd all clap. Isn't that fantastic, all the plates? But you know what? At some point, sometimes those plates would fall and crash on the ground. Couldn't maintain it. We don't have to live like that. And we live in a society that encourages that and pushes that. And it's not healthy. If you feel like you are reaching a point where you are past your limit, you're overwhelmed, your depression is getting the best of you, you're feeling guilt and shame, you're crying, you're angry, you're irritable, you have symptoms of post-traumatic stress, you're having panic attacks, you can't breathe, you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you can't turn the noise off in your head, playing over and over and over again. before you have a breakdown, before you turn to drugs and alcohol, because a lot of times people say the only thing that would quiet it was the alcohol, before you go there and self-medicate, call a counselor. Call a licensed professional counselor. Call a licensed clinical social worker. Get help. Show people that it's okay to need help. We all need help. Can't think of his name, Pratt. Last night it was all over Facebook. Actor. One of the things he said, we're told we're perfect just the way we are. Well, you know, I'm good just the way I am. And he said, yeah, we're not perfect. If I think I'm supposed to be perfect, I'm going to, chances are, have some kind of a breakdown because I can't maintain perfection because I'm not perfect. But it's really good to be okay with who I am. And so that means I need to know some of my shortcomings. Learn to live around them. Know my limits. Know my limits. Know your limits. So I hope that this was useful. And I wish you good mental health. And I will be back next week with a guest. Stephen W. Roll. Yes, the last name is Roll. My last name is Roll. It's my husband. He works for the VA. And it is also National Post-Traumatic Stress Awareness Month. And so he's going to come and talk about post-traumatic stress. Again, let's remove the stigma. I'm Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselors Chat, and I will be back next week, guest in hand.
USA Radio News.
A vote on immigration is expected later this week. Ryan Patrick is a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Texas. He explains some of the misconceptions that you're hearing out there in the media.
The Department of Justice, my office, is not involved at all with people who present themselves at a port of entry, at one of the bridges, to claim asylum legally. We are getting referrals from Border Patrol and other agencies who catch people who are crossing the border illegally. They can then make their asylum claim or any other claim that they believe they have after their prosecution. But the zero tolerance policy that was rolled out back in April by the Attorney General says that all people are to be treated equal under the law, which is we will take all cases referred to us by Border Patrol where there's probable cause to prosecute them.
This afternoon, President Trump will be participating in a roundtable on protecting American jobs in Duluth, Minnesota. This is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to